I'm Laura Vinroot-Poole. For over 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store in Charlotte, North Carolina. On this podcast, we unlock the stories of people's lives through the stories of what they wore. These aren't conversations about fashion. These are conversations about people. I met Anne Howell Bullard at a trade show in Paris, but she actually lives and works right here in North Carolina. Since we first met, she's brought so much beauty to our clients in Charlotte and Los Angeles through her hand-painted leather bags. I think this episode is especially inspiring for young entrepreneurs discovering their craft or facing challenges that come with being a first-time business owner. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Anne Howell Bullard. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. You're here. Thank you for having me.
I want to tell people how we met because we had an appointment in Paris and we were in a huge trade show in the basement of the Louvre.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stopped in my tracks by the most beautiful bags, really blown away. And then to hear that you were from North Carolina, I couldn't believe it.
The way I remember it is along those lines, but I'm pretty sure I conjured you up because I was sitting there, and no one's ever been to a trade show, like there's a lot of dead time,
yes,
you know, where you're just kind of sitting for hours on end. And I was like, huh, I wonder if the Pool Shop Capital people are here. And I looked up and you were right there. And I was like, oh my goodness, how does this happen? And I think I remember yelling out something like, Laura, I'm from North Carolina.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear you because I was so mesmerized by the bags.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
We have something in common, I think, other than being from North Carolina.
Yes.
But we both went to Chapel Hill. And
Tar Heels.
And studied art.
Yes.
You were an art history major. I'm a studio art painting major.
I love that.
But, you know, one thing I love about that course of study in art history is that you have to take studio art.
Yes.
Isn't that cool? It was very cool.
Yeah. And I loved that portion.
It's a real dream, isn't it?
It really is. It is.
You are from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and you're one of six children.
Yes, the oldest.
I was just going to say, where are you in the mix? The oldest?
Oldest and the best.
Right, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
Wow. And so what's the span?
So my parents had...
Is it the same family?
Yes.
I mean, same parents?
Yes. Same parents. And they had the first four of us pretty close together. Mm-hmm. So we're all like 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, like it felt like there was four of us. And then my sister Mary and Peter. Mary was born when I was in high school, and then Peter was born, I think, like right after I went to college.
Wow.
So he's 13.
Oh, wow.
He just turned 13. Yeah. And I'm 32. So we're like,
oh my gosh,
a pretty big... He's our little baby munchkin.
Yeah. And they say, like, in birth order that if there's a 5-year lag or a difference, it is actually a different family. Right?
I totally can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not, they do sometimes feel like my little nephews or nieces. But in a good way, because it's like, whereas I fought or had like brother, sister, whatever with my other siblings.
Yeah.
Never with them.
Right.
You know, they're like my little friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your little nephew. That's
yeah.
So interesting. The first four, maybe all six, you were homeschooled.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We were homeschooled. I guess we started all being homeschooled when I was in fourth grade. So I was fourth through eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went or will go to public
right.
high school.
What
That's
was
hard.
That like?
It was actually really good. There are really, really nice people in my class, some of whom I'm still really close friends with.
But what was the first day of school like?
Wait, well,
you'd been through fourth grade. So you knew.
Correct, yes.
But the other ones really kind of hadn't.
Right, they hadn't. And I don't know. I think it's sometimes like interesting when you consider socialization, like the real world isn't like this homogenous group of people who are your exact age
right.
and live in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I guess being homeschooled, we weren't like isolated. Like we would be out doing things with other kids, adults, like different ages all in one group. So in a way, I feel like it was a little bit more of a real world
Yeah.
socialization whenever we would go out and do stuff instead of like you're only in this one little group
yeah.
with all kids that like are the same as you.
I feel that way about my only child.
Really?
You know, my daughter's an only child. Yeah, because I just think it's a different socialization because I think
yeah.
when you have like a you know, two children, four children, or I don't know, that it becomes, it's like the parents are doing this, the children are doing this. Mm-hmm. And so you're in this sort of group. Whereas with an only, you know, she's done things with adults her whole life.
Right. And had Peter to, and Mary too, for yeah. sure.
You're an artist. So was there an art component yes. to it? Like, how did that, and did everybody say like, this is what I'm interested in. I want to do art. I want to do sewing. I want to do.
Yes, for sure.
Soccer.
That, I think that was one of the best things for me about it was that there was a ton of free time because mm-hmm. it's really like this is your work for the day, and if you get it all done, we would start pretty much at 8 every day mm-hmm. and if you get it done by like 12 or 1, then you have the whole rest of the day, whereas if you're, you know, in school a pre-ordained amount of time and then you come home, if you get home right away and it's like 5 o'clock mm-hmm. you know, and it's like the day is kind of
and
shot.
You don't have homework, I guess.
No homework. Yeah,
it's all
super efficient. Yeah, and that was really great because I totally had time. I mean, I was always like reading books or drawing stuff mm-hmm. or painting stuff.
And what was your medium?
I really liked painting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I always was like drawn to like paint on any kind of substrate, whatever it was. I just thought it was fascinating. It came a lot more easily to me. It felt a lot more expressive than like drawing with a pencil, which mm-hmm. can be really like time consuming and precise. With paint, you know, you can just like, it's like the mistakes look cool.
Yeah.
And so I was really into that. I did feel like I wanted to be an architect for a while. Mm-hmm. So I'd make like these elaborate like house plans and like elevation drawings and all this stuff.
Your mother made all of your clothes also.
She did.
Did you have input on that?
I did when I was like a teenager. But when I was little, no, I was just like, sure, whatever you give me is great. As I remember it, she might remember it differently. And she also made us a ton of bows. She was like the bow queen.
And you were compliant.
Oh, yeah. I was into it. And because we had them, they were like themed. Like, it was, like, Halloween, Christmas, summertime with, like, watermelons. I mean, it was, like, every iteration of bow.
You and your sister are stair steps. And then you have a boy. And then there's a...
Two boys.
Okay. Yeah.
And then so a girl boy.
I got it. That makes
sense. And Bear and I always matched.
Yeah. I've seen photographs. You had a... And the boys, no.
They did, too. Yeah. And sometimes we would all match each other when the boys would wear, like, those little knickers and things.
Well, it helps when you're out, for sure. Yeah. To make sure you keep track of everybody. What's your favorite thing that your mom made you? And what was her style like?
She also made me a lot of, when I was in college, these little shift dresses mm-hmm. that I wore to death. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I could wear it to class or to cocktails or whatever. Those were probably my favorite because they felt, I sort of creative directed those.
Right.
I was like, I want this shape. And she like found a pattern. It didn't really fit in the boobs. So we like edited it. And like got it right. And I had probably like 6 or 7 of those. Huh. I loved that she made me all of those.
You have interesting people in your family, aunts and grandmothers.
Oh my gosh. But they all are pretty, my mom's sisters and my grandmother are all pretty local. Mm-hmm. And they, I don't know what it is, but like their eye for color is insane. And I definitely think I picked up a lot of that. Like my grandmother would just have these like beautiful like coral outfits and like shades of green and blue and really simple silhouettes. Like mm-hmm. They're not really one to like push the boundary with like the silhouette mm-hmm. or the cut of anything. They kind of like stick to the same shapes, but beautiful colors and then totally accessories.
And in their everyday life or mostly at church?
Church for sure. And then like family get togethers, but you know, they look cute on the everyday too. Yeah, they do. And they stick to that same thing. I mean, cause everything I've like taken that's been my favorite. Well, actually I've appropriated a lot of my mom's clothes and then had them like reworked with the shape, but like the jewelry, accessories, mm-hmm. and even shoes, because I can sort of fit her shoes. Her size is a little bigger than mine. And they always would be like trading back and forth with each other. And I think that kind of made my mindset too of like, yeah, you just change up the accessories.
Yeah.
Keep everything else simple. And it's easy.
Which is,
you don't have to do that all the time, but it's an easy formula.
It's become your business.
Yeah, totally. Totally has.
So after college, you went out of the country for the first time to India.
Yes,
I did. Tell me about that. And what were you doing? Why were you there?
Well,
and what an incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I love India.
It was so awesome.
Yeah.
I was gone for 6 months.
Wow.
And I got a
Where?
Travel in Calcutta.
Wow.
Mostly. And I got a travel fellowship from UNC that was for students who had never been outside of the country. So I had to like pitch an idea to them. I'm Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so we, of course, knew who Mother Teresa was mm-hmm. in her nuns, the Missionaries right. of Charity. And because of that, she was based out of Calcutta. And so I kind of like associated it with a lot of poverty. And, you know, like that's the place where she chose to go set up and do her work. Mm-hmm. But people who are from West Bengal or Calcutta like consider it to be the cultural capital of mm-hmm. India, because there's so much art and history there. And there's like this Nobel Prize winning author, poet, artist, playwright named Tagore mm-hmm. who's from there. And I was like, that's kind of interesting to me how I was like me being an outsider perceiving it as like this place of great poverty, but people who are there perceiving it as like this cultural capital that's giving all of this like rich, beautiful work to the world. I was mm-hmm. like, that's kind of an interesting contrast. So my fellowship was to study both of those things.
Wow. Together.
So I volunteered and studied Tagore.
And volunteered doing what?
With the Missionaries of Charity.
Okay. Oh, wow. With her
yeah.
organization.
So you
wow.
can be a, yeah, you can be a volunteer. And I mean, they're set up everywhere there. Wow. So you can really do, I taught for a little while. And
it's an orphanage or?
No, I mean, they do everything.
Yeah.
They really, whatever any person needs.
Right.
There are some orphanages and like child centered things.
And so what was your specific?
I taught for a while at a school, which was cool because it was designed, the kids didn't live there. It was just a place for them to go during the day so mm-hmm. they wouldn't be on the street.
Right.
And then there is a train station mm-hmm. where they also have kind of like an outpost set up where they can distribute medicine. Because like so many things, like tuberculosis is like very easily cured if you take like your regimented
right.
drugs. But if you don't have like regular access to it, then you get sick and die. So they were set up there as sort of like a place where people could come and get their medication regularly if they needed it, and food, like first aid. So I also worked there.
And then the poet, how was
Tagore,
that?
Tagore. Oh my gosh, he's so cool. You like books.
Yes.
You should totally look into some of his, especially poems. They're really easy to read, and they're beautiful. He won the Nobel Prize, wrote a bunch of plays too, which I haven't read all of his plays, and did some art, and his house is there. Mm. I was mainly into his poetry. And I just kind of like read it all while I was there, went to his house, mm-hmm. took notes. There was sort of like a cafe culture, kind of like what you think of in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of same thing in India with all the little tea houses
yeah.
and cafes.
Yeah, yeah.
So went around to all of those. Huh. And the other thing that was really interesting to me is that Calcutta is where the British set up mm-hmm. when they decided India was theirs.
Yeah, right.
In imperialist British-controlled India. And so there's a ton left over from that,
mm-hmm.
but it's all like really crumbling. It's mm-hmm. really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like a mosque or Hindu temple or whatever, and then some like First
Anglican
Baptist
church.
Yeah, and you're like, what? And then there's all these graveyards where you can just see like all of these people, like children, infants, whatever,
wow.
like dead, left over from, I guess, getting malaria. I don't know.
Right.
It's just really fascinating convergence of worlds.
For me, that I think India, I was so influenced by the clothes.
Yes.
And the colors.
And the color. Oh,
the
my
colors.
Gosh. And the patina. I love how it's so bright, but there's like a slightly like crumbling.
Yeah.
It feels natural.
Yeah.
It's not like everything's fixed.
Yeah. Did you paint while you were there?
No. I didn't have anything to paint.
Have you painted since about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my second little collection that I did was India inspired.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
And there I went to – so the first 6 weeks that I was gone, I did the study abroad
uh-huh.
with a group of UNC people because I was like, I can learn some basic Hindi and, you know,
mm-hmm.
like get my bearings.
Yeah.
Maybe get sick with other people instead of by myself. And we went to Jaipur.
Love.
Oh, my gosh. That was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
The pink city. And I have this one design called the Amber Fort
yep.
pattern that's inspired by that. It's like pinkish and like terracotta and gold. So pretty. I actually want to go back there.
Marie Helena Tayac and also,
oh.
you know, the Gem Palace that's in Jaipur.
Oh, wow.
And I think I want to say 80% of the world's stones that are hand cut are still hand cut there because
oh, how cool.
they don't cut by laser. They cut by
hand
still.
Oh, how neat.
And then you worked for Teach for America.
Yes.
Yeah, which yep. my sister also worked for. So we
oh, no way!
Yeah, yeah. But you were in Eastern North Carolina.
Yes.
And what were you doing?
I taught special education
mm-hmm.
and I taught at an elementary school, my kids all have learning disabilities
right.
of various kinds, but mm-hmm. all very mild.
Uh-huh.
And it was K through five, so I was the only teacher there that did any wow. kind of like special
education. What county is this?
Warren County.
Warren County.
Yes.
There are 100 counties in North Carolina.
Yes.
And Warren is one of the poorest.
Yes, for sure.
Yep.
And yeah.
So
and
not a lot of, I guess, investment in that.
No.
Especially, yeah.
Definitely not. And our school is small because it's a very geographically large county.
Right.
So like all the schools are really spread out. And so it was really like kind of like a neighborhood type school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And those poor kids would be on the bus for like 2 hours aww, just from yeah. picking up everyone, you mm-hmm. know, because it's so spread out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I taught kids how to read.
And what did you learn from that experience?
I loved the role and I loved kind of like the purpose and the meaning behind the work. And I love those kids to death. They yeah. were the sweetest, best things in the entire world, and they still are. But I was not really passionate about the craft of teaching, mm-hmm. which is what I realized
it's
at the
so
end of
hard.
The day. Oh, my God. And there were other teachers where, like, on a Friday night, they'd be with their friends, like, talking about, like, here's a better way that we can teach multiplication tables. I'm just like, wow. Like, you guys are where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, this is – you're the ones that need to be doing this work.
And you want to be talking about Michelangelo.
Yes,
and
exactly. And I was thinking about art. And I actually – when I was there, there wasn't any art class at my school.
Uh-huh.
They had, quote-unquote, music one day a week, but that was it.
Wow.
And I started an after-school art program, which was really cool. And I think like every student signed up.
Yeah.
There were like 200
and
kids.
And have your special education kids in it?
Yes.
I'm sure they would love that.
They
yeah.
were.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were, it's so funny when you think of a student and you're like, oh, they're ADHD or whatever. They
right.
can't sit still. And like
art.
The quote unquote ADHD student would sit there for 2 hours, like completely engrossed
yeah.
in this project.
Yeah.
I really loved that. And that was fun. And I was like, see, this is...
Yeah.
This is more what I need to be thinking about.
And then how did you get to handbags?
Got married.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had been – that was when – you're speaking about making like $8,000. That was when I was teaching is when I started making these little envelopes out of fabric canvas.
Yeah, painted, hand-painted
yep, painted
envelope.
To go to
clutches.
Weddings. Yes, clutches to go to weddings. Because
mm-hmm.
I guess everyone was getting married.
Right.
I had like 20 weddings to go to and – all the same people. And I was like, gosh, how do I wear like one dress to all of these weddings? Accessories, obviously, always the answer.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started playing then. And I always, you know, was painting on stuff still. And then got married and my husband was like, I'm never living anywhere except Raleigh. And I was like, okay, I don't really care. Like,
I love you.
Yeah, that's fine. Raleigh seems cool. And I had been going there almost every weekend anyway.
You didn't have a job and
yes,
just started painting?
$0. Started painting. And I started testing out things on leather because I was like, there's got to be, seeing how my
something
canvas
better.
Bags turned out, I was like, there's got to be a reason why people – like use leather to make shoes and
right.
bags and things that they need to last. And so I started experimenting with that and I got this white leather that I found at like some really cheap store. And I was like, this ought to work. Like, I'm sure I can paint on white. Like, this is fine. And I painted a bunch of like stripes and X's and lips.
Uh-huh.
Those same red lips that I think you guys got like an earlier version of those. It was hot pink on white. I painted those
and
just
did you
like,
sell them or did you
yes,
use them?
Yes, I did.
And how did you do that?
The first batch, like all my aunts bought them. So I was like sold out immediately. At the time, Furbish
yeah.
had, they still had their store open. Yeah,
uh-huh.
They still had a storefront. And I took the second little batch to her and she let me sell them in there on consignment. Mm-hmm. And they all sold. And
yeah.
I was like, yes. And then same sort of thing, like with the Raleigh denim
yeah.
people, they let me sell some on consignment there. And then like at this time, it was before Instagram, like you could sell things on Instagram. So there would be like the Cherish flash sales.
Right.
And it's like you like it and you get an invoice or something.
Okay.
Something very contrived. But I did a couple of those and yeah, just like made my little website
yeah.
and started selling.
And then how did you branch out to selling wholesale?
I didn't know how. And I was like ignorant about like pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know, $50. What do you think?
Well, or just not ignorant, but more just not valuing of your time.
Very, very, very true. Yeah. Because
yeah.
I was like pricing things based on the cost of the leather, which doesn't mean you right. should price it on that. But then there was like zero labor dollars. Right. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Because, yeah, I can be free, but not right. forever.
Right.
I don't even remember who my first wholesale client was. But a little small boutique, I'm sure.
And then you started to get feedback from them saying, yes. we would love a strap or we would love.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people were like, because they were flat, uh-huh. totally flat. And they were like, we can't fit our stuff in here. Like, right. so I made them 3D, like with the edge, the side gusset pieces yeah. to be expandable.
Was feedback hard to hear?
No, because I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel you. And there are some people who like don't like a clutch. They want a top handle uh-huh. evening bag.
I love a clutch.
Same. Yeah. I do too. I don't know. Everyone's different. I feel like all the feedback I've been actually really lucky because people are very kind.
Yeah.
And they're like totally into the vision and right. the aesthetic. And they're like, if you just tweak this one little thing, like it'll make it so much easier. And I'm like, got it. Uh-huh. Like,
but you don't always listen to it, do you?
Well, yeah, no. That can be a spiral of bad choices.
And then also, I think it has to be really hard to like at those trade shows at the Louvre, you know, in the basement.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That must be really, really painful, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's excruciatingly boring.
Yeah.
Which so I had boring. No idea it would yeah. be so boring.
It's long.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting there for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And it's cold. So you're just like shivering uh-huh. in the basement of the Louvre or wherever
with, like,
it is.
With crazy like disco music pounding and.
Yeah. And you do get more. I think in the beginning I was like, because I just had nothing to compare it to.
Right.
So people would come up to me and they would say like whatever. And they're like, why don't you make plain bags? And I was like, you mean like with nothing painted on them? And they were like, yeah, like we could probably sell that. And I was I don't think so. Like, no, that's just not really, that's not the point.
That's so like, funny.
I'm not your plain bag girl. You got, yeah. Someone else will be able to serve you a lot better. But you just kind of learn like how to, your intuition becomes stronger the more you interact with people yeah. about it. And I became more confident later. I was like, no, that's not my brand.
I think it's important to know who you're selling to and to make sure that you're both on brand with each other. That
oh,
you're,
for sure.
You know, that you're of the same culture, I guess, and that you, you know, you want to be in their store.
No, I completely agree. And that's actually one reason why I've always been drawn to Capital people. Oh. And just you in general, but also the energy here is about, in my opinion, like the art and the story and the way something makes you feel.
Yeah.
And like how you think about yourself. It's not about like, oh my God, I have to go fill my closet with gingham because it's on trend right now.
Right, right.
You know, it's like a lot more intellectual and emotional connection to how you present yourself as opposed to I need to be on trend.
Well, and more freedom, I think,
yes.
you know, for me. I always tell the story about my mother every time I come back from market and she's like, well, tell me what, you know, what are the trends? And I'm like, I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
No. Because, who does know? No. People just say they know, but they don't really know.
It's all about yellow.
Yeah. For some people. Yeah. Well, interesting thing, too, that I think was a product of me pricing everything the same and not pricing things in the beginning based on the complexity of the design. Right. Well, since it was like a level playing field, I kind of figured out that I have like all these different little groups of customers. Like I have the people that are like kind of like rock and roll, badass. They're like into those slightly more edgier pieces. Mm-hmm. And then I have people that are like very classic and stripes and leopard and, you know, red, and they're probably not going to like push the envelope too much, but like they want a little bit of hand painted texture or something. And then.
Well, and in that ultimately it's about you, that you
right.
have all those facets of your personality.
Yes.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think if I had, I don't know, I think just like putting all of those facets out there and like making them all be the same price point, I could just see people gravitating. I have like kind of a bohemian Stevie Nicks type
yes.
customer. And sometimes people will like if someone's like kind of preppy and like more classic, like they'll kind of like gravitate towards the moon phases or something. It's like a way to kind of touch on that without being like full out Stevie and like the lace kimono and whatever, you know? I think it's kind of interesting. People are like, here's a way I can access a different side of myself without like full-on committing.
And then tell me about growing your business. What's that been like?
It has been sort of mind-blowing a little bit because I'm like, I can't believe people like what I like
yeah.
and want to pay money for it. Sometimes yeah. I'm like mind-blown by that. But it's been really fun, and I think I sense among kind of everyone, I sense like this movement towards understanding where what you own and what you consume and like what you choose to engage with, like where it comes from and how it was made. And also not like putting a person in a box because of, oh, you're a mother, like you have to be this, or mm-hmm. you are an important lawyer, like you have to be this. It's mm-hmm. like, I think people are becoming a lot more fluid with like how we can be feminine and powerful mm-hmm. and creative and scientific, like all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you're not like, you are this and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an interesting place to be in. And I think it's interesting to think about growing a business that kind of like supports mm-hmm. that growing consciousness that we have
yeah.
of why are we buying what we buy? Who made it? Where did it come from? And how is it expressing like the whole of a person instead of just like, you're a prep, you have to wear this or whatever it is.
And your first big order came from Anthropology. So tell
oh,
me
gosh.
How, I mean, like, but that had to have been hard to, after selling every piece you sold, you probably knew what home it went to.
Yes.
You know? And so what was that like?
That was the most I've ever worked in my entire life. And I would totally drop everything and do it all again, for
how
sure.
How many bags was it?
It was like over 400.
What?
For me, that was a huge
And you made
amount.
Them all?
Yes. I hired, I think, about 4 people, including my little brother, Steven, who was at State at the time.
In the design school?
No. Oh. No. No, no, no. He's like, no. He blessed his heart. I think he was terrified that I was going to like murder him if he messed anything up. There's a lot of busy work that you don't think about that goes into it. Like all the little pieces have to be edge painted like 3 times.
Right.
And you just like drag it along this little thing. So there's a lot in like rivet setting mm-hmm. and whatever. Like there's a lot of things he can. Oh, cutting, because I have a yeah. clicker press. So you can, it's like a cookie cutter. You can literally just like cut out the whole hide. So I hired those people to help. And that is totally when I learned this is how you run production.
Yeah. And did you do all the painting yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You all the painting. No.
Will you ever?
I think so, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, it's a technique. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. And there's, the way I look at it now is there's like the creative direction or the design, and then there's the artistic technique, and then there's the factory production. And it's like right now I have all of those mm-hmm. integrated, but they're all like they could all be like a different designer could come in and, you know, mm-hmm. and like, or like help with the designing. And then
right.
other people could come in and we could be like, we're going to do these shapes of the lips, blah, 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 whatever. And it's like this formula with the color. I mean, it's totally a teachable thing.
Right.
I didn't really have like the bandwidth to process that at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, get them out the door. Like
how many styles?
A lot. I think it was 11.
11 styles,
yes.
400 items, 400.
Yes.
Wow.
It was so many.
How long did it take?
5 months. Because they kept ordering more. They didn't start with 400. They started with like maybe like 30 or 50 or something. And I was like, okay, great. And I thought that was an insane
yeah.
amount at the time. And then they sold and they were like, can we get more? Can we get more? And like, when can you have these done? And they were really, you'd think like a big company would be really like, you have to do this or else we're gonna like,
right, exactly.
But they were really, they were like, when can you get this done? Like how, like what terms work for you? And I was like, oh, I don't know, but like, let's just say this. That was when trial by fire, you figure out this is how a factory needs to operate.
Yeah.
And at the end of it.
And this is all out of your house?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know.
Is it still out of your house?
Sort. I'm looking for space mm-hmm. and slash maybe.
How are you still married?
I know. My sweet husband. It's a disaster. And since I started doing the glitter, there's like glitter everywhere. So we'll be out somewhere and he'll have like a speck of glitter on his face. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
So what's next?
At the end of Anthro, I was like, these are all my pain points. Mm-hmm. These are all like straps take forever.
Hmm. Because it's so much stitching.
Oh, my gosh. And the edge painting of the strap, like, because how do you
yeah.
paint one edge and then get it to stand up so it doesn't fall and,
right.
like, stick? So I started rounding out my equipment needs mm-hmm. with all of my money from Anthropology. Bought, like, strap cutters, mm-hmm. edge painters where you, like, feed the strap through, and it like paints it on both sides. And then there's an oven.
Can you do that in North Carolina? I mean, is that, did you buy that all here?
No, it's all Italian.
Okay, so next is new space.
New space.
And employees?
Yes. I kind of had moved away from doing like freelance hires because there's so much effort to train.
Yeah.
And it almost like slows me way down. Mm-hmm. And so I've been just saving to hire someone full time. And since I kind of like wrapped my head around like the difference between creative direction, the artistic technique with the painting, and then production, it's like clearer. I can be like, I can do these two things and then hire someone for the production part. That's the easiest part to teach.
Right.
And I can still creative direct and then do all the painting. And I developed, because I'm color obsessed, my own leather paint formula.
Wow.
Because I couldn't get the colors how I wanted them to look. Mm-hmm. So I working with the same Italian people.
Really?
His paint's just pigment and binder.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a special binder that's for leather.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, there's a lot of movement and no paint to surface application is ever going to be like perfect and impermeable. But
is a leather North Carolina or where's
no,
where the
hide's
from?
Wish that I was using American leather, veg tan only. I only use vegetable tanned, but I've recently switched to Italian.
Mm. Look at you.
I know.
All Italian all the time.
I know, all Italian all the time. If I could go back to the American, I would. There's issues.
Yeah.
So I just can't right now.
We ask every person at the end of every interview what they wore to prom. And I'm so glad to know that you were not homeschooled all through, because I would have been really worried.
I don't even know if they have that. Probably.
I don't know if they do. But can you tell me what you wore?
Yes. I went to two proms.
Look at you.
Yes. Well, I mean, not really. Like one junior year, one senior year. The first year I wore this dress that I borrowed from one of my friends. I think like five girls had worn it before me, because it was like older sisters, younger sisters, all of this. But it was this really beautiful, like pale blue, just kind of like A-line with like a beaded top.
Huh.
And it had like very thin little straps. Mm-hmm. The color was really pretty. It was kind of like a Carolina blue almost, mm-hmm. actually, but kind of less saturated. And then my senior year, I actually wore a little black J. Crew strapless like sun cocktail dress.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was made out of this at this time they were doing a lot of that. It was like technically seersucker, but it wasn't striped.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like that kind of like textured material, and it was black, just strapless little A-line, and I had pearls.
I want so much for you to have painted on that.
I know. I was not thinking that way for that scenario.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we loved having you, and I can't
Thank
wait to see
you.
What you do next. Follow us on Instagram at shop-capital, where we will announce the arrival of our exclusive capsule collection with Anne Howell Bullard this fall. What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.